beautiful Sabbath day. Well, you know that that Joe and I have been going through a doozy of a trial, and you know, like I was talking with Mr. Luca the other night, I said if I had my head squared away, I would have declined from speaking today because my head seems to be all over the place. And I can't quite get it together. Yet on the other hand, I wanted to be here because it gives me an opportunity to talk to the seniors, of which I am one. And that's how I got this assignment anyway, because I'm kind of the old man of the tribe, I guess, of the elders. And I want you all to know that I truly feel honored and privileged to stand here and be able to talk to you all, and particularly to the seniors whom we honor this day. Now, I look around and I see people that I have known for over 40 years. We go back quite a few years, and we have many of life's experiences, and we have many stories that we could share with you. You know, during the past 40 plus years, we have personally known or have been acquainted with literally hundreds of men and women, Christians that have come through our doors, and we've watched them as they have dealt with their problems of life and their complexities of their daily living. And some have flourished spiritually, while others have floundered and are gone. Some of them made an impact. Others made no mark whatsoever. Some grew in Christ. Others dried up spiritually and withered away. There were those that reached out and offered encouragement. And on the other end of that pendulum were those that bellyached and griped and complained about this and that. Some deepened and softened in their lives, while others became shallow and hardened. And then there were some like you, the seniors here, who grew older with grace and with godly influence. And sadly, there were others that simply grew older. Now, looking back over the decades that I've been around, and as I observed those whose lives clearly reflected deep spiritual growth and those who seemed to stagnate and fade away, you know, I pondered and wondered about the reason that represented the fork in the road that we all arrived at. We chose one fork, and we're still here. Others chose the other way, and they have drifted away. Why is that? Well, I believe the foundational issue is commitment, specific commitment. You know, there's ordinary, lovable people such as yourself who made simple spiritual commitments to God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And you've left an indelible impression on the people around you. Now, I know that you may not think that you have. You know, your education, your gifts, and your abilities, or your status in life isn't what made the impression. But your commitment to this way of life did and is making an impression on others. I know that some of you have put in a lot of time. There's years and mileage since being called. It's hard to believe how rapidly the time has gone by. And I see Mary sitting out there, and it doesn't seem like it was all that long ago that she and there was a few others that formed a quartet, and they were singing Light Arose. Remember that, Mary? That was about 34 years ago, if my memory serves me well. And Glenn was sitting over there. I bet you don't even remember the time you drove me down to Portland for the Days of Unleavened Bread. That was, what, about 63 or 64? Something like that. My family was ill, and so they weren't going. Back in those days, you probably don't remember, we used to keep the Days of Unleavened Bread just like we do the Feast of Tabernacles today. We kept the whole week. and we almost ran out of money during the days of unleavened bread so that we couldn't go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Anyway, I think that's one of the reasons why they switched it around. But those were good times. And let me see, I'm looking around and I see other faces out here. Now, Merle McIntyre, I remember, I don't exactly remember the year, but I remember her cute little daughter. She was a cute little tyke back then. Oh, I'm not going to make you blush, Shannon. Well, she was, but now she has grown into a fine young lady, and she has a cute little daughter. That's great. And, you know, and I look around, and I said, Lavita is sitting in the back there, and there's Margaret. And, you know, I'm going to miss some people here, and I apologize for that. But there's those of you that have been here for so long and have served so much over the years, you know, and if I miss your name, please forgive me. It's because you're all important. You're all important. But there was one other, let's see, there was Marge and Harold Samuel. Now, I didn't know them years ago. It's been fairly recent years that I met them, but I want you to know that they are approaching 50 years in the church. That's quite remarkable. Now, those of us that have been around for a while have watched a rather interesting parade of people go through our church. But have you ever given any thought as to why so many, or not so many, but why so few, actually, so few commit themselves to a congregation in a significant way? There are those that simply come and they'll sit and they'll soak up whatever there is to be offered, and they do little else. You know, and the tendency is for them to take off at the first sign of what they perceive as maybe some trouble or pressure. They fail to become involved in what we have to offer here in the church, and they fail to give of themselves. And their priority for worshiping with one another falls way down on their list of priorities. You know, and they can easily criticize all that they feel is wrong with the congregation. And then there are those that I refer to as floaters. We have them. You know, these people apparently aren't really satisfied, and so they'll come here one Sabbath, and then, you know, it might be a month or so before we see them again. They just kind of shift around from one place to another as though that they're on some type of a circuit. And I have seen those that have backed out and disappeared when the going got tough, or when they feel that the pastor or the elders that were not performing in a particular way that's suitable to them. Well, I got news for you. And it's no secret. We're not perfect, but we try. It's all we can do is try and provide you with a healthy spiritual diet. And then there are those people that live on the fringes, and they sit out on the fringes, and they're firing salvos of criticism when difficulties in the church arise. And then there are those that I think must be reading the stock page, because they analyze the church like the stock market. You know, when the church is going along real well and everything looks like it's going up, they buy in. But then when things kind of settle out and then start going on a little bit and things toughen up, they're gone. They sell out. Well, what can we do besides comment or complain? Well, to all of you here, I'd say that we might consider the example that has been set for you by our senior citizens, the long-timers, which includes having a positive attitude, involvement in the workings of the church, and loyalty, all backed by commitment, which sometimes seems to be in short supply, but what kind of commitment? Well, after the Father and after Jesus Christ, our attitude toward the local church is the first level of commitment. Because you see, we're a local body of what I refer to as God's people. You know, we have our warts and our wrinkles, and And particularly those of us that are 3 score and 10, we're getting a little flabby and our skin sags a little bit. That's the way it is. But we are an expression of Christ's witness where we live, and I find that sobering. The fact is, brethren, that we come together on the Sabbath to worship God, to be taught His ways, and to learn His truth, and to have fellowship with one another. And we are to be a part of it, and not loners on the fringe. Now, it's not hard to see human problems and our frailties, because we are human. We make mistakes, you know, and anybody that wants to be critical, you don't have to look very far. We've got things that we need to grow in yet. But our attitude must be that God will use this and us in its midst. We need and expect an attitude that expresses confidence rather than doubt. And our attitude is a matter of choice. It is. We choose our attitude, whether we're going to be looking up and positive or if we want to look down our nose at something that's going on. And hopefully, we will choose to view our church as a body ordained by God for a purpose and believe that He will use it. Another example set by our seniors is involvement. You know, we've got a long, long history here. Of those people that are here, I don't think that there's a thing that the church, the congregation does that they haven't done. We've done it all. You know, it's somewhat like in the army. You know, when you're overseas and you're on the line and you're getting tired and so forth, that, you know, we're getting weary, but then here comes the replacements. Well, hot dog, boy, I remember that real well. And I look out here and I see your young faces. And believe me, it's with a grateful heart that I look upon you because you are our replacements. Our day will come when we have to sit down and you're going to take over. And I thank God that you're here. Because you see, all of us need to be a part of the church, not simply bystanders. We need to be here on the Sabbath. And let's not underestimate the importance of attending Sabbath services, because you know, we need one another. We need to be there to support and encourage one another. And then, of course, on top of that, it is a commanded convocation. Well, just attending services on the Sabbath, quite frankly, it's not enough. We really need to get to know one another by getting involved in the smaller segments of the church activities, serving in the galley or setting up the kitchen, setting up the chairs, or working with a sound crew, ushering, or whatever. There's so many things that we can get ourselves involved in. But get involved. Find some place where you feel you can fit and support those activities that are meaningful to you. But, you know, don't have to overload yourself. Just find one thing and get involved. But don't just sit on the sidelines. And finally, brethren, there is loyalty, a virtue that is ingrained in our senior citizens here. You know, because when we criticize the church, what we're actually doing is we're criticizing ourselves. And if there's anybody that has a right to complain, it's those that are in there working hard and pitching in. And to all of us, I say, let's be loyal to our pastor and his crew, which are many. And, you know, again, like I say, that we're not perfect. We have, you know, we have our human frailties. And if you see something in somebody else, in the elders or the pastor, well, instead of complaining about it to somebody else, why don't you muster up some Christian love and simply go to him and talk it out heart to heart? Don't do the human thing, which is to gossip and sow discord. And don't do like so many of the others did, is that when you get kind of soured about something, just to take off and disappear. Because you see, in order for us to move forward as a church and as a body, we need to stand fast and stick together and to be part of a solution. Now, it's been many years since God called us and opened our minds to His truth and His plan for mankind. And from that day, back when, to today, that plan has become deeply ingrained in our minds and hearts, and it gives us the strength and the energy to keep moving forward. And having that vision is the driving force in our lives. God's Spirit empowers us to live a godly life. The vision of what God has in store for us empowers us to live a fruitful and a devoted life. And spirituality without vision leads to a life without focus, without direction. It's like a ship without a compass. You can wander all over the place. Now, 30-some years ago, when I was working down in Pasadena, my wife and I met an elderly couple, Bernie and Chloe Shipper. Do you remember them? Delightful people. They were pioneers in the early days of Ambassador College, and their habit was nearly every Sabbath to invite students and employees in for a dinner. And of course, that was always a very delightful experience. But it was more delightful that after the meal, as we sat around and we shared different things and so forth, that we really got to know the Shippards. Now, Bernie was they were in their mid-70s, I think, at that time, and he was a pretty quiet fellow. But Chloe made up for it. She was an absolutely spellbinder. You know, we sat there absolutely transfixed as she would talk about the old days of Belknap Springs, Sigler Springs, and the Tabernacle down at Big Sandy, and about the way the people used to be back then, of the cohesiveness and sticking together and sharing and pulling together. And the people back in those days, I mean, they would drive hundreds of miles, not mind it, to be to a Sabbath service. And sometimes we complain because we have to come across 520. You know, those days was by far more like the first century church than anything that we can compare it with today. And we talked and we shared in great length of what we felt God has in store for us in the world tomorrow. Well, why did I bring the Shippards to your attention? Simply because we have seniors here very much like the Shippards, whose life experiences qualifies them to help many of you younger members with your trials that you're facing. If only you would ask. You know, we don't put our nose in where it doesn't belong, but if you would ask, you would find wisdom here. And it's been my observation that some in the younger generations somehow feel that the seniors' experiences, you know, from their lives, it's out of date and it's not applicable to current situations, as though we're all out of touch with life. Well, brother, and you young people particularly, if you would become familiar with Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 and 10. I'd like to have you take a look there, because what it says is, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. Taking advantage of the wisdom that is here available to you will help to stabilize you when you're troubled. And I can tell you, and I don't mean to embarrass the Lukers, but having dear friends like them who over the years have listened to my gripes and complaints, and there have been many of them, and they have picked me up from the pits that I occasionally find myself in. Mr. and Mrs. Luker, in my opinion, are referred to as balcony people. Do you know what a balcony person is? A balcony people. Well, you know what a balcony is. They reach down to where you are, and they'll pick you up. They've done that more times to me than I can remember. And it's because of people like the Shippards and the Lukers and the godly people like our seniors that I'm still here today. It's a good thing that you're doing here today, honoring the hoary head. This is very pleasing to God. Now, I don't know how it is with other seniors, but for the most part, I don't feel my 70. It's only when I shower and shave in the morning that it becomes quite obvious, you know, and I've quite been thinking about removing all of the mirrors in my house. Well, for all of us, growing older, like, it's like taxes. It's a fact that we all face. And no, I'm not going to say when growing up stops and growing old starts, because I know there are people half my age that are old. And there are people that are older than I am that are young. Because you see, age is only a number. That's all it is. We can't get programmed by what society does. It's only a number. And like I tell the lookers all the time, old age is 15 years from now, right? It will always be 15 years from now. Now, there are some signs we can read along life's journey that suggest that we are entering that transition. The first is physical. The aging body sort of puts on the brakes. There seems to be a whole lot more wheezing and huffing and puffing than the ripping and zipping that we did when we were young. And there is a tendency to sit more rather than to get up and do, and to watch more than do. And mentally, we have those senior moments, you know, when memory goes blank and we're looking around for a jump start. And emotionally, also, there are strange fears and feelings that creep in, like feeling unwanted or in the way, or being reluctant to let those who are younger to carry more responsibility, or feeling forgotten, unloved, lonely, or passed by. All of this is worsened by the memory of those days when we really had it pretty much together. We were efficient and capable and felt needed and being fulfilled. And as we look into the mirror, we're forced to admit that the passing of time have left their mark. And sometimes it's hard to believe that our twilight could have any value or be of any worth. Well, if you're thinking that way, that's wrong, and it's terribly wrong, because such thoughts can be very destructive. Such thinking pulls us down into a self-created prison of self-pity and sadness and feelings of uselessness, and that would be tragic. And that is exactly what Satan delights in. He wants our seniors to feel that we're all through. We must remember through Scripture that the patriarchs of old have always been God's choicest possessions. Abraham was far more effective once he grew old and he mellowed out. When we read the account of Moses, we'll see that he wasn't used with any measure of success until he was around 80. Caleb was 85. Samuel was up there in years when God used him. All of us that come under the heading of senior will agree that getting older isn't for sissies, that it has its difficulties and its heartaches. But if that is the only thing that we're focusing on, we'll miss out on the good times that still lay out in front of us. We have good times yet coming up. And let's not forget that God has decided to allow us to live this long. Isaiah 46 and verse 4 says, God tells us, even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. So to my fellow seniors, our accumulation of years is not a mistake. It's not an oversight nor an afterthought. It's part of God's plans for our life. In Psalms 92 and verse 14, it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. And so, my friends, there is still much work for us to do. Mother Teresa was once asked if she knew when her work would be done. Her reply was something like, well, she says, if I awake in the morning, then she knew that there was still work to be done. And so it is with us. We're not finished yet. And so let's seek God's guidance, that seek his strength and to allow his love to flow through us and to share our life's experiences and our wisdom. You younger people, as I said, you are our replacements. We delight in that. We love seeing you here because you are the future of the church. Get to know your seniors. Ask them questions. You would do well to listen and to learn and to take advantage of it.